Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Sunday, November 21st. Michael Beller and Derek Van Riper here with you to take a look ahead to Week 12 waivers. Thanksgiving week waivers is what we're looking at here, DVR. Before we get to that though, how's Week 11 Sunday treating you?
It could be worse. I mean, I'm a Packer fan. They lost a close game, but I think it was one of those games that I prepared myself for them to lose. Mm-hmm. I didn't have as much exposure to KC Dallas stacks as some people in the DFS community did. So all things considered, this awful week for most people was just kind of a normal week for me, and I'm happy with that.
Hey, Packers might have lost, but at least you could take solace in the fact that your team gave us one of the few like truly entertaining games of Week 11. You got to watch a really fun game. Didn't end the way you wanted it to, but at least it was a fun, enjoyable 3 hours of your life.
Yeah, I kind of just shrugged it off. Then I was like, well, that's just what happens. You play a close game against a decent team on the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to beat you sometimes if you don't execute everything perfectly. So, okay, on to the next one.
I think we're going to see the Vikings in the playoffs too, something we've been talking about a bit on these shows. They definitely have the feel of the team in that big group of NFC not top tier teams that is ultimately going to get maybe the sixth seed, certainly one of those last two spots in the playoffs. But that is a discussion for another show. Let's get to our discussion here, DVR. Week 12 waivers, an early look at it. And it is going to be another slow, ugly week on the waiver wire. Hopefully you do not need too much help at this stage of the season because you're not going to find much on the wire going into Week 12. I want to start out in New York with the Jets. Michael Carter left the Jets, lost to the Dolphins with a knee injury. We don't know the severity of the injury just yet. We probably will by time we are actually making our bids. But for the time being, let's talk about Ty Johnson, DVR, who is widely available in fantasy leagues. Have to assume that he would assume the largest share of the backfield duties for the Jets if Michael Carter does indeed have to miss some time.
I think because he's got a steady pass-catching role, that definitely gives me more interest in Johnson than Tevin Coleman, who also just looks sort of cooked in the per-carry numbers. So I guess the expectations are low for Ty Johnson, even with all that. This is a bad Jets team. Yes, they will play to script and be in a position where they have to throw a lot, and because he's a check down option, they can use him that way. The good news is, if you have to use him next week, it could be a, sort of an ugly shootout. The Jets play the Texans. That's a game that could be 27-24, right? It's a battle of two legitimately bad teams. So there are definitely worse players we've had to pick up just by virtue of them having a larger role than Ty Johnson and then had to play as a result of not having other options. So it could be worse, but I'm also not throwing what's left of my fab at Ty Johnson either. Like we've talked about a few players that, you know, who else are you saving it for is often the question this time of year. Someone else is the answer to that question as it pertains to going after Ty Johnson. It's a modest bid where I'm running back desperate, I think, heading into Week 12.
I think that really also sums up basically what we're going to be doing with every single player on the wire this week. As you and I are sitting here recording this, there are still two games, Sunday night, Chargers and Steelers, Monday night, Buccaneers and Giants. So, of course, something could happen in either of those games that would change the way that we're looking at the waiver wire. But as of right now, Ty Johnson, actually, with everything you said being something I agree with completely, is looking like one of the more attractive players on the wire. Most of the rest of the wire DVR is at the wide receiver position. I'm going to just blow through another running back you might want to consider. Jordan Howard had another successful game for the Eagles, 10 carries for 63 yards. He was rotating evenly with Miles Sanders, but he left the game with a knee injury too. So this is something you're going to want to take a look at. He's 30% rostered in Yahoo leagues, 50% rostered in CBS leagues. If we get good news on Jordan Howard's injury, it's hard to say that he wasn't the best back for the Eagles in this game on Sunday, but Boston Scott was still in the mix also, and it's not like Miles Sanders is going away. So he's got the injury, he's got the competition. It just really hasn't been a super productive backfield with all of these guys healthy. So again, you would have to be really, really desperate to want to make a play on Jordan Howard. And also, if you're that desperate, I feel like most people would have already made the play on Jordan Howard over one of the last couple of weeks. So I just want to put that name out there. Probably not someone you need to go too crazy for. The wide receiver position, DVR, maybe a little bit different. Let's start off with Cedric Wilson. I want to go to Cedric Wilson because the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving, so just 4 days away from when you and I are recording this against the Raiders. Amari Cooper almost certainly going to miss this game on the COVID list. And then CeeDee Lamb left the Cowboys' loss to the Chiefs on Sunday with a possible concussion. So he, too, could have trouble getting through concussion protocols and being active for this game. So if both of those guys are out, we're looking at a Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson 1-2 punch for the Cowboys at the wide receiver position. We saw on Sunday, nowhere near as effective a wide receiver group without CeeDee and Amari, but this could still be a decent spot for people who are looking for a one-week fill-in. You got the Chiefs on bye, so no Tyreek Hill. The Cardinals are on bye. We've already been without DeAndre Hopkins for a while. Cedric Wilson, if you really need to grab someone and start someone, maybe not a bad ad.
Yeah, he probably cracks the top 40 of wide receiver rankings if CeeDee Lamb can't go and if Amari Cooper's out as expected. I imagine this is a nice bump for Dalton Schultz, though, too. This is a guy that had 8 targets, yep, 6 catches, and 53 yards for the Cowboys in that loss to Kansas City in Week 11. So, I would say any league where you're starting 3 receivers and you don't have that third spot locked down either because of injuries or because of bye weeks, Cedric Wilson is on the radar, at least for a short-term stream. I imagine Cooper's probably back after Thanksgiving if he doesn't play, so it's probably a one-week sort of situation for Wilson.
I would say both of them are have to be back after Thanksgiving. We haven't seen guys miss 3 games because of COVID situations. We've rarely seen guys miss 2 games because of COVID situations. Obviously, this is different with the Cowboys having a Thursday nighter. That's what's complicating matters for Amari Cooper. Also, the fact that his COVID situation came up late in the week before the Week 11 game. And then CeeDee Lamb with the concussion, it's unlikely that he would miss a game that is, you know, another week after this one. So most likely both of those guys are back in Week 13, which then would mean this is indeed a one-week fill-in for Cedric Wilson. But that could definitely be lucrative with the Cowboys taking on the Raiders on Thanksgiving. Van Jefferson fits into this group as well, DVR. He's about 50% owned and combined on Yahoo and CBS, so maybe not available to everyone. We saw in Week 10 him go for 3 catches and 54 yards on 7 targets. It seems like with Robert Woods out, even with Odell Beckham in, he's remaining the wide receiver 3 at worst for the Rams, and that's a spot that he has turned into some useful fantasy games of the season. Again, a short-term guy, someone you're not going to want to start every single week, but we've seen enough from him to make him rosterable in a lot of spots.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I think I'm worried about is if the Rams defense finds another level with Von Miller's recent addition, maybe they're in a position where they throw less. That's the thing that could possibly slow down Van Jefferson's breakout a little bit, but clearly an opportunity there. Matthew Stafford's playing well overall this season, despite some struggles more recently. I'm in on Jefferson, over 9 yards per target this season. I don't know if he'll hold that level of efficiency with more volume, but you can afford to come down a little bit if you're going to get 7 or 8 targets per game, which I don't think is an unreasonable expectation for Jefferson going forward.
Yeah, I really don't think it's unreasonable either. And, you know, they're going to need some sort of explosion in the offense. Robert Woods was so key to everything they do. Obviously, Robert Woods is a receiver. That speaks for itself. But he's a guy they like to get a few carries. One of the best blockers in the NFL at the wide receiver position. He was really key to everything they did in the run game, as much, maybe more than any other receiver in the NFL. Jarvis Landry is another guy who comes to mind as being really, really important to his team's run game. It's a long way, or maybe I would like to say an artistic way of saying that they're going to need to change some things in the offense. It's not just like we can say, okay, Odell Beckham, you do a little bit of what Robert Woods did, and Van Jefferson, you do a little bit of what Robert Woods did, and we can cobble together this Robert Woods Frankenstein. They're going to have to change a few things up. And maybe some of that is taking the deep shots with Van Jefferson. We've seen them this year with DeSean Jackson before they cut him, be successful taking some of those big, deep shots. And, you know, as great as Cooper Kupp is at almost everything that wide receivers do, that's not really his game. And so Van Jefferson, I think, has to step up and be that sort of player for the Rams. It makes him pretty intriguing over this regular season stretch run into the fantasy playoffs. Someone who I would definitely consider if he were available in my league.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How about Laviska Shenault, DVR? Let's get back to Visca. Went for 5 catches on 5 targets for 50 yards in Jacksonville's loss to the 49ers. And Jamal Agnew, who had become a key part of Jacksonville's offense over the last, really, month or so here, DVR, left in the fourth quarter with a hip injury. We did not see him after he left. If Shenault is suddenly back as a top 2 or 3 pass catcher for Jacksonville, he's at least back on our radar.
Yeah, looking at the upcoming schedule, too, it's the Falcons in Week 12. That's a pretty good spot. Bad pass defense. You know, the Rams in Week 13, good game script. Probably going to be a situation where the Jags have to throw more than they want to there. Tennessee coming up in Week 14, they've been the most generous defense to opposing wide receivers so far this season. You got Houston, you got the Jets. So overall, really, 4 out of 5 good matchups, and then the one bad matchup is a good game script for extra volume for Laviska Shenault. They also find ways to get him involved in the running game on occasion, too. So maybe you get a little nudge there on occasion. I'm just surprised that, you know, for as much as he's been targeted, he's got 2 games this season where he's been targeted 10 times. He has not scored a touchdown this year. That is weird. I mean, that's, part of that's just the Jags having a new head coach and a rookie quarterback, even though Trevor Lawrence being is a great rookie. Just being a bad team, yeah. It's hard to get that many touches and not score. So some of the underwhelming qualities of the game log, if you just look at like fantasy points per week, are just the result of never scoring. Opportunities, just in terms of volume, have been there. I guess the question is, with the schedule, with the development of Lawrence, do the quality of the opportunities go up? Do they start to find their stride as a unit over the course of what's left of the season? Because if the answer is yes, then you should be pretty excited about Shenault. If the answer is no, then we've got a pretty good indication of what it's going to look like on a week-to-week basis. We've seen volume without production from him to this point.
Yeah, I don't think that's something I want to bet on. I like the optimism of it, but I just don't think that we've really seen enough of them headed in that direction to suddenly think it's going to happen. I really think Shenault here is dependent on Jamal Agnew missing some time. So I'd be on the lookout for injury information on Jamal Agnew over this next 48 hours before you place your bids. And if he is going to miss some time, you know, I would still go for Van before him. If I just needed 1 week and 1 week only, I'd probably go for Cedric Wilson before him. But if Jamal Agnew is going to miss some time, I could see Laviska Shenault being someone who is in our fantasy lives again this week. One more receiver, Sterling Shepard, DVR, not going to play in the Giants Monday Night Football game against the Buccaneers, but could be back in Week 12. And we know the role that he's had with Daniel Jones this season when he's been healthy. It speaks for itself. So let's say you are a wide receiver needy manager, DVR. You've got Cedric Wilson, Van Jefferson, Laviska Shenault, Sterling Shepard all sitting out there. How would you rank them? How would you prioritize them going into your Week 12 bids?
Maybe I'm out of my mind, but I would just play it week to week. I'd probably go Wilson first and just try to survive week 12. Slight edge to Jefferson because Odell Beckham's role is going to grow for the Rams, right? He's not going to be a 15 snap guy every week the rest of the way. Yep. I think the bye week's well timed for him to sort of get up to speed and start to figure some things out, and they'll carve out a larger role for him. So I'd go Wilson, Shepard, Jefferson, Shenault, if I'm looking at all of them. And I think the problem with Sterling Shepard is just that there are so many options for the Giants in that passing game. I don't know if they even have a clear hierarchy for someone they want to be an 8 to 10 target player. It seems like they want to spread the ball around a lot. It's frustrating from a fantasy perspective. I still think Kenny Golladay is the guy. If there is a true number one in that offense, he is that guy. And I don't even have that much confidence that he's that guy, even though I think he's the best player in that receiving core.
And he might have an opportunity to really establish himself on Monday night when Sterling Shepard is going to miss another game for the Giants because of his injury. So another possible opportunity for Kenny Golladay here. I think I go Van first where he's available. It's a long-term bet on the Rams offense. I'm with you on Cedric Wilson being someone who could really step up in Week 12. If I'm Week 12 needy, he would be my next guy. Sterling Shepard third. Laviska Shenault fourth. We've just had that Laviska rug pulled out on us one too many times this season to really believe in it. If Jamal Agnew is indeed going to miss some time, I still think he's the fourth guy out of four here, out of the ones that we've talked about. Jake Seeley, of course, will have a full breakdown of the waiver wire available to you before you are making your bid, so be sure to check that out on The Athletic, and be sure to listen to us on this very show tomorrow. Me, Jake Seeley, and Brandon Funston will take a fuller look at the waiver wire and, of course, everything that we saw in Week 11. That's going to do it for this episode of The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. For Derek Van Riper, I am Michael Beller. Good luck to everyone who is still hoping for something good to go for them in their Week 11 fantasy matchups. Have a good night. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.